take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14. Going to try and conclude our little study on the cross this evening. Luke chapter 14. The principle of cost is incorporated in living a crucified life, a life of victory. So far we've noted the fact concerning the cross life, or the Christ life, as it's spelled out in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 6. We've been stressing the fact to live the Christ life, or the cross life, involves you and I taking up our cross and following Him. And as we follow our Lord's command to take up our cross, thereby we will have understanding what it means to live the Christ life, the crucified. We've noted so far that to take up our cross is our calling and it's our responsibility. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 and 39 stress that fact. And also we've noted that to live the crucified life, or to take up our cross and follow Christ, it involves a denial. Denial of self, a willingness to say no to our fleshly appetites. And then we moved on to Matthew chapter 27, verses 40 to 42, and we noted that concerning the command to take up our cross, it being a personal charge, it is a choice. We are not forced. The Lord Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me. It's a choice. The Lord Jesus chose to remain upon the cross. And I'm thankful for that. He chose to be crucified in order to provide redemption for mankind and also to provide victory over sin. So we likewise must choose take up our cross and follow Him. It's a choice. Then we went over to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. We noted the fact that it was a public and open charge that our Lord gave to His disciples in the midst of a crowd of people. If a person is really taking up their cross, it is not a private issue. It's an open issue. The Lord Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. And if we truly obey that charge, then it will be open and obvious to all. And then we went to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 21, and we noted the fact that it's a sacrificial charge. It'll cost you something. And as the Lord Jesus said to that religious individual, very wealthy individual, the Lord Jesus said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And as that individual of great wealth considered the words of Christ, the Bible teaches, he turned back and he refused to take up his cross and follow Christ. So our Lord stress the fact that if we are to live the Christ life, if we're to live the crucified life, if we are to truly take up our cross and follow Him, it involves sacrifice. Sacrifice. Note here in Luke chapter 14, please, as we move on. Luke chapter 14, verses 27 to 30. Our Lord gives us some further insight concerning what it means to take up our cross and follow him. Luke chapter 14, verses 27 to 30, it reads, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." These individuals, as they listened to the words of Christ and as they listened to the charge to take up a personal cross and follow Christ, for many they had no understanding of what it really meant, what he meant by that. And therefore the response is there in verse number 30. But the issue that I'd like to stress this evening concerning the Christ life and living a crucified life and thereby living in victory and not living pending on our power but living in the power of the Holy Spirit and not being bound to the dominion of sin but being set free and living a life that is pleasing to Christ and living the Spirit-filled life involves you and I being crucified with Christ. Jesus said, "Take up thy cross and follow me." But also note here in this passage of Scripture that our Lord Jesus made reference to the willingness to count the cost. Count the cost and pay the price. This is one of the very first sermons I ever preached. In fact, it was the very first sermon I preached at a youth camp. Count the cost and pay the price. I still remember to this day. I'm not sure how good the theology was, but the thought was good, and I thought the thought was good. It was based upon this scripture. By that I mean, I'm not sure how well I did when I preached it, but it was still a bunch of teenagers. But the principle is here. Jesus said any person in their right mind, before building, they would stand back and consider, what will this cost me? Who in their right mind would attempt to build anything without considering at least an estimation concerning what it will cost? And the reality is it will cost that and probably cost a whole lot more. Boy, it was wonderful to see the facility that God has provided, the Faith Baptist Church there in Regent Park. And I can assure you, the pastor will tell you, they estimated a cost, but it cost them a whole lot more. And may God grant them the grace to pay their bills, and I'm sure he will. It would be foolish for you and I to consider building anything without standing back and considering this is what it will cost you. And the Lord Jesus said, if you are serious about taking up your cross and following me, consider what it will cost you. There will be an expense. And brethren, I'm afraid that many of God's people fail in their Christian walk and do not last and will not go the extra mile because they have not stood back and objectively consider the cost. What will this cost me? You'll have to pay a price to serve the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is simply calling for inventory for you and I to stand back and consider, what will it cost me to serve Christ? And yes, be willing to pay on the dotted line. Sign our life away. So say, Lord, I'm willing to pay whatever it costs to serve you. Weigh it up. I'm afraid that we live in a day in which people do not want to bear the responsibility of their actions. And as pastor, I'm often saying, believe you me, think about it. Think about what you are doing. If you enter this relationship, this is where this will lead you. If you make that decision, this is where it might lead you. I am constantly saying the above to people. If you choose to take this track, this is where it's going to lead you. And it just amazes me that often people make decisions without counting the cost. And then I have people that get upset with me because they're bearing the responsibility of their actions, see? And in years gone by, I've made recommendations concerning to people within the realm of relationship, and unfortunately, some of those have not taken advice concerning relationships, and now they are no longer in church or no longer in a church of like faith. What can you do? And I feel as the Lord Jesus felt as he stood before this group of people. He said, listen, count the cost. Work it out. Do your number crunching. And then be willing to pay the price and follow me. The principle of cost. It will cost you to take up your cross and follow him. I'm not sure how it will cost you, but I can assure you it will cost you to take up your cross and follow him. When I determined to follow the Lord Jesus at the age of 18, 19, about that age, and I came home that Sunday night after church, I was so excited about being back in church. I'd come back to the Lord after some 4 years of just living for myself, and I had just surrendered. I remember getting home that Sunday night and then being dropped off with the Metro church bus. We had a coaster back then and had Metropolitan Baptist Church on the side. I remember being dropped off, and as I jumped out of that bus, I was just so excited, and I just remember making my way up to the front door and just stopping and just saying, Lord, take my life. Let it be. I don't want to be shelved. I just want to serve you and honor you. I give you my life. I just had my own service, my own altar call. There it was. And for some of you, you might realize it was that very night that my father was not very impressed. And for some reason, that bus, that Metropolitan Baptist Church on the side of that bus bothered him, and he began to argue with me, and I wasn't a very mature Christian, so I was silly enough to argue back, and I learned the hard way, you don't argue with your father, that's a whole lot bigger than you, and one thing led to another, and my father chased me out of home with a brick and a broom in his hand, and that was the last time I lived at 71 Broughton Road, Artarmon. And I remember walking down the street, wondering, God, what have I done? I remember sitting on a side of a gutter, just crying and bawling my eyes out, saying, what have I done? But there was something in my heart that was just said to me, you've given your life to the Lord. I had a peace in the midst of all my weeping and crying. And I learnt on that night what it cost to serve the Lord. I didn't do anything wrong. Okay, I didn't say anything unkind to my dad, but I just defended myself. I said things like, well, you know, what's wrong with what I'm doing? I'm just going to church. I've just come back from church. What do you want me to do? Drink alcohol and smoke drugs? And I remember saying things like that to him. At the end of the day, God taught me, it cost you to serve the Lord. It cost you to serve the Lord. That was a very sad time for me, but I'm thankful that God's brought some good out of that. I love my father. I've forgiven him. He loves me. I'm his favorite son, see now. And so God's good to his people. You honor the Lord, he'll honor you, see. It'll cost you. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me and take up your cross, then you better stand back and consider the price you're going to have to pay. It will cost you. Go to Mark chapter 15, please. Gospel of Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, verse 32. I'd like for us to note the principle of being reviled. Our Lord was reviled here in Gospel of Mark chapter 15, verse 32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Brethren, when you and I are prepared to take up our cross and follow him, you might be surprised who will mock you, who will revile you. And the point I want to stress here is that there are two guilty thieves crucified with the Son of God. And they have the audacity to revile the innocent Son of God. Now, you've got to bear in mind, these two reviled him, but then one did repent. But that one that repented, he did initially, if you compare the gospel stories, he did initially revile with the thief on the other side of the Son of God. If you compare the gospel stories. So they were both reviling. They were both saying unkind things to our Lord. But yet one of those came to a point of repentance and humility, and that's when he cried out for mercy. So this one that received God's mercy initially said some very unkind things to the eternal Son of God, who has provided redemption for mankind. And brethren, if you are prepared to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you and I are prepared to take up our cross and follow him, you'll be surprised who might say some unkind things against you. That's just how it is. That's the crucified life. You will be reviled. Go to John chapter 19, please. Gospel of John chapter 19. I want to move along. John chapter 19. Verse 17. Taking up our cross and following him. What does it mean to live the crucified life? Well, note here in chapter 19, verse 17, the Bible reads, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, the place of death." There in verse 18 it reads, "And where they crucified him." And the point I want to make is this, that if you and I are prepared to take up our cross and follow him, it does lead to death. Death to self. When the Lord Jesus was willing to bear his cross, the ultimate end was death. And brethren, if we are sincere in our desire to take up our cross and follow him, it does and it will lead to death. Death to self, death to our own desires, death to our passions. I had my desires as a young Christian man. I had great ambitions. I wanted to fulfill some goals in my life. They were my ambition. That's what I wanted to do. But God said, no, you want to take up your cross and follow me? I've got something else for you. No, I don't want you to be an executive chef. No, I don't want you to play football for Australia. I want you to be a preacher of the gospel. And I'm so thankful for that. But at the time, I struggled with it, and I struggled with it, and I struggled. I'm telling you, I struggled with it literally up to the age of 30, if the truth be known. Because I kept saying to myself that old devil would plant seeds in my mind and say things like, "You're still not old enough. You're still young, pardon me. You're still young. You're still young. You can still play. Up to 30, you can still play. You can still be a professional football player. You can still be an executive chef. You can do it. There's still time. And this haunted me. And I thank God when I turned 30. Boy, that was a great relief practically for me. You've got to be a good football player to still be playing professional football at the age of 30. And those that are still playing at that time are a bundle of reckless bones, believe you me. They had all sorts of issues, see. And brethren, if you and I are prepared to serve the Lord, it leads to death. Death to what you want. Death to what you want. And you are willing to go to Mount Calvary, you're willing to go to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of death. That's the crucified life. It's not a matter of what you want, it's what God wants for your life. That's the crucified life, see. In the process, you might be rejected. Look at verse number 19 of chapter 19. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Question, was this a title of honor and respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes or no? No, they were mocking him. They understood who he claimed to be. They were mocking him. And brethren, if you are prepared to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, people will mock you. People will revile you. People will reject you. I lost all of my football mates, all of them, every single one. I wasn't prepared to attend the pub any longer, and that's where footballers spend a lot of their time, filthy, rotten places like that, and I had to just let go of that life. I had different men that would ring me and beg for me to come back, and I had to say, no. I was prepared to take up my cross. It was difficult, but that's the price of taking up your cross and following him. Last but not least, Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll end with this. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 2 reads, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God help us all to run our race with patience. The race that God has set before us. And God has a race for you to run. God has a race for me to run. Though we are all running from the same starting line, we are not in competition one with another. That's the difference between a physical race and a spiritual race. We all start from the same point, but those by our side are not our opponents. But we run keeping our eyes upon Christ, the finish line. And the Bible teaches us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You have a personal race to run. Brethren, let's keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't do so, then we will be distracted, disappointed. We must keep our eyes upon Christ. The Lord Jesus will never let you down. People will. That's just a part of life. I will let you down. You will let me down. That's just human nature. But we must all at the end of the day regroup mentally and spiritually and place our eyes back upon Christ. And we have to run the race that he has set before us. And consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, our Lord continued to run his race. He lived a spotless and sinless life and a life of complete obedience to God the Father, and went to the old rugged cross and died upon that cross. He endured the cross. He was willing to accept the pain and the agony and the sacrifice and the emotional hurt that he would experience as he bore the sins of humanity upon himself, and as he understood the fact that he came unto his own received him not. He came to present himself as the Messiah to the nation of Israel, and they just cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The Lord Jesus had this in his mind. He was the rejected Savior. And yet he had to bear this horrible cross. And he, on that cross, he was crucified. He endured the cross. But he did so joyfully because he understood that with this endurance and with this crucifixion, salvation will be available to men, women, and children. He endured the cross with joy. Despised the shame. He didn't consider. Wasn't concerned about his reputation. Despised. He looked down upon the shame entailed with the cross. And as I've mentioned in the past, to be crucified was the most horrible and the most humiliating means of death. It didn't bother him. But therefore he was exalted, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, if you and I are to take up our cross and follow him, it's going to call for some endurance, stickability, a refusal to quit. And what's the key to keep on keeping on? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's say it together. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will keep us focused. He will keep us on track. He will keep us exactly where we need to be. We just need to keep our eyes upon him. So let me encourage you, my friend, to take up your cross and follow him. We could make reference to the fact that there is glory in the cross, but we've run out of time. We could make reference to the fact that if you will take up your cross and follow him, you will come across those that the Bible calls the enemies of the cross. And also in Galatians 5:11, the Bible makes reference to the cross being offensive to some. It's not popular to live the crucified life. But yet in 1 Corinthians 1:17 to 18, the Bible teaches us the message of the cross from a life of a child of God who is taking up their cross and following him is a powerful testimony. The time has run out. Time has run out. So let me encourage you this evening. Let's take up our cross and follow him. It will cost you. You'll have to endure. Some might revile you. It will be costly. You'll have to sacrifice. You'll have to deny self. It's a death to self. The cross provides salvation. The cross is the key to victory in the Christian life. May God help us to live the crucified life. Let's have a word of prayer.